This episode is brought to you by Castor and Pollux, maker of America's number one organic pet food, Organix. Look for their newest line, Pristine, the only complete line of pet food made with responsibly sourced ingredients. Learn more at heritageradionetwork.org/pets.
You're listening to Heritage Radio Network. We're a member-supported food radio network, broadcasting over 35 weekly shows live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. Join our hosts as they lead you through the world of craft brewing, behind the scenes of the restaurant industry, inside the battle over school food, and beyond. Find us at heritageradionetwork.org.
Welcome to the HRN Happy Hour. It's 5 o'clock somewhere, and somewhere is Bushwick. I'm Katie Mosman-Wadler, Executive Director of HRN. Kat is out today, but we'll be checking in with her later for a little cat call, get it, about what she's been getting into at the Decatur Book Festival in Georgia. So we're super happy to be back here in the studio kicking off our fall season. Today is day one of our fall 2017 radio season. And yay! We have some amazing guests in the studio. We have the team from Giant in Chicago. So I'm going to introduce you guys one by one, and we're really, really happy to have you here. So first off, we have Jason Vincent.
Hi, guys.
And also Ben Lusbader.
Hello.
And Josh Perlman.
Hello. Thanks for having us.
Thank you guys so much for coming out today. We're really happy that you're here to hang with us in our shipping container studio, having some Wolfer Rosé, having some beers, having some rye. And we also have in the studio Liza Hamm.
Hi there.
And our fearless member coordinator, Hannah Forden.
Hello, everybody.
So, Liza, do you want to kick us off, talk a little bit about what we're going to do on the show today?
Absolutely. Thanks, Katie. So, to ring in the fall season, HRN is adding 5 new shows to the lineup. We have Andrew Talks to Chefs, A Hungry Society, Meant to be Eaten, Buen Limon Radio, and Modernist Breadcrumbs. Whether you're looking for intimate chef profiles, diverse voices in the food world, conversations about the state of food culture, a deep dive into all things bread, or our very first show in Spanish.
Yay!
Our new fall lineup will give you something to add to your podcast queue.
We're going to kick off the show with rapid fire headlines from the past week and then give you all a taste of what's coming this fall. We are also going to talk about some awesome events coming up this season, hear a little bit more from Jason and his team about their roles at Giant, and then finally wrap it all up with trivia.
We don't make rolls.
Yet.
Rolls are made to be broken.
Oh. All right, David, give us our news music, please. There it is. Okay. On Radio Cherry Bomb this week, we checked in with the founder of Fluff Bake Bar, Rebecca Masson, to hear about what we can do to help Houston, which is her home city, in its time of need. Also stopping by was Katie Quinn, YouTube personality and avocado expert extraordinaire, author of the Short Stack Editions on Avocados. Also, Ashley Stanley, the founder of Love and Spoonfuls, joined in to talk about how her organization has rescued more than 7 million pounds of food and distributed it in the Boston area homeless shelters, food pantries, and soup kitchens.
And on Beer Sessions, we were joined by Ethan Long of Rockaway Brewing, Pete Langill of KCBC Brewing, which we're all really big fans of.
Yes, we are.
And Joel Shelton of Shelton Brothers Imports to talk about their brewing adventures in Germany. The Speakeasy also invites back Souther from BevCon in Charleston and talks with Joseph Magliocchi, Dan McGee, and John Holtzinger of Mitcher's Distillery. Tune in to hear them discuss the history of the brand and the enduring power of American whiskeys and distilleries.
Also, thanks, Michter's, for being an HRN partner. We love you guys. Also on Snacky Tunes, superstar chef Lorena Garcia was on talking about her cuisine in restaurants like Chica in Las Vegas, her various Spanish language cooking shows, cookbooks, and kitchenware line. Also, Brooklyn guitar rockers Boy Toy gave us an in-studio performance of their grunge rock meets surf jam sound. And Hannah?
And finally, coming in October 4th, Modernist Cuisine founder Nathan Mirfold And head chef Francisco Meguia will join Michael Harlan Turkel of our very own The Food Scene for Modernist Breadcrumbs, which is a special collaborative podcast series that takes a fresh look on one of the oldest staples of the human diet, bread.
I love bread.
Waiting for David
we
to
love
do his
bread.
Yeah. From the microbes that power fermentation to the economics of growing grain, there's a story behind every loaf. Each episode will reveal those stories and more, beginning with bread's surprising and often complicated past and how bakers are shaping its future in different ways. They are joined by top bread bakers and experts from across the country through interviews captured by Turkel, a passionate cook, baker, author, and food photographer himself. Whether you love making bread or simply eating it, the show is sure to feed your curiosity and hunger for the truly great loaf.
And as we are getting into talking about our new shows for fall, I'm super excited about everything that's coming to our lineup. You can check it out in our email that we sent out, our newsletter from this morning. Also, all of these shows have trailers on our website. But we have a show coming that I'm super, super stoked for. And David, I think, can you turn down the news music? Because I want to draw really big attention to this show. This is a really big deal because this is our first ever podcast that we're doing in Spanish. And I think that this is really, really important, both for, like, for us as a network and also just for the food world to have. The show is called Buen Limón Radio. The hosts are Mariana Velasquez and Diego Senor, who are amazing. So this is really groundbreaking as our first Spanish language show. It's going to feature guests who are going to discuss how food intersects with life and art. It's also going to feature live music, bands in the studio, and home cooking segments that Diego and Mariana are producing in their home with their friends and in their friends' homes. And I think that this it's going to be a variety show. It's going to speak to a lot of people. And one of the segments that I'm really excited about is it's called like the bone marrow. And it is going to feature interviews with people who obviously are Spanish speaking, who are working in restaurants around New York City, around the country, and really calling attention to people who might not be the top chef at a restaurant, but who are really the backbone of gastronomy in the city and in so many cities around the world. So I think it's really important, super exciting. Also, the hosts are amazing. Mariana Velasquez is an incredible food stylist. She's best known for styling Michelle Obama's cookbook, which was called American Grown. And Diego Senor is a veteran broadcast journalist. They're both from Colombia. They're a married couple. They're just brilliant. And I think this is going to be a really, really cool addition. So really excited to call attention to that. Plus we have, we have three other shows also debuting in the next week that we're stoked about. Hannah, do you want to talk about Andrew Talks to Chefs?
Yeah. So, Andrew Friedman is a frequent cookbook author and memoir collaborator, and he's going to bring us access to his expertise for a new show called Andrew Talks to Chefs. So we're going to hear from Friedman himself, the author of the upcoming book cookbook, Chefs, Drugs, and Rock and Roll.
Not a cookbook,
just book. And yeah, he's going to talk to some of the country's best chefs, and they're going to share their stories and funny experiences, plus a lot of entertaining philosophical debates.
And Andrew is really good at pulling stories out of anybody. So these are going to be the like juiciest interviews on the network, I am pretty sure. So tune in. And also check out his book. You will recognize it by the 1960s orange font on the cover. You'll know what I'm talking about when you see it. Also, his show logo is outstanding.
All of the show logos are so good. Like, all the new ones are amazing.
We're also bringing on a new show talking about dining culture. This one is hosted by Korsha Wilson, who runs the blog A Hungry Society, and the show name is incidentally A Hungry Society as well. So this is really calling attention to how, you know, we talk about food in the media a lot. It's really blowing up. Sometimes it feels like an echo chamber. We are talking a lot about like the same chefs again and again, and really featuring a lot of the same voices. And one thing that Heritage Radio Network is always trying to do is to bring in new voices to the conversation. And Korsha is going to be celebrating unsung heroes in A Hungry Society to ensure that we have diverse and inclusive coverage of the food scene
and really making sure that we're kind of thinking philosophically about dining culture.
She did her first live show ever today, actually, with former HRN host Nicole Taylor as her first guest.
Yay, Korsha.
Awesome.
And thanks, Nicole, for coming back in.
And then another new show we have coming for fall is Meant to be Eaten, which is hosted by Andrea Wayne and produced by Coral Lee, who is one of our HRN interns, and she's amazing. We're super excited to hear what they have to bring. So in a world filled with rainbow bagels, ramen burgers, we're all wondering, how are we supposed to mesh the old with the new without destroying food culture? So Andrea is going to... In Meant to Be Eaten, she's going to bring a conversation with chefs and entrepreneurs about what it means to serve up authentic food, or what it means to be original, what quality means in our hyper-connected, highly Instagrammed lives. So we're really excited about all those new programs.
Much needed, I think. And this is like such a big week for us because everybody's been kind of like on vacation, in and out. I feel like everything's been really kind of slow. Not really slow in the office. I actually feel like I've been really stressed out coming back from vacation. But I noticed this week that things are really picking up. So I think lots to come. We're getting a lot of pitches this week. And it's just going to be a really exciting fall. Hopefully, you know, weather-wise, everything kind of behaves because we are carefully watching the two hurricanes. Well, Harvey's not a hurricane anymore, but really thinking about everybody in Houston and keeping an eye on Irma and thinking about folks in the Caribbean and South Florida right now, and hope that everybody is making the safe choice. And we're thinking of you, and you're always welcome to come hang out with us at 100 Bogart. We have room for you at our new office. So
Can I plug something real
quick?
Yes,
please.
So Chris Shepherd's... Chris Shepherd is a Houston chef who's got a really great foundation called southernsmoke.org. So they're taking donations right now to benefit restaurant workers have been displaced by Harvey. So if anybody wants to go help some people, do it.
Tell us the URL again.
Southernsmoke.org.
Great. Thank you.
I was like, what's a URL?
On the interweb.
The internet thing. The directions.
I knew the answer.
So, do we still have Kat on the line, David?
We should.
Kat, are you there?
Hello.
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 We miss you so much.
Hi, Kat.
We miss you. I know. I miss you guys, too.
Ah, how's Atlanta?
Atlanta's great. I'm sitting right now in a restaurant in Smyrna, and I'm drinking a cider that was made in Marietta. So I'm there in spirit. I'm having my happy hour drink.
We're having a happy hour drink with you. We are all just having a quick toast here with a shot of rye. So we're going to raise this glass to you, Kat.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Amazing.
Perfect timing.
I also want to point out that the studio is not Katless this week. There's Kat Taylor in the studio.
Hi, Kat Taylor.
Hey, Kat.
Hey.
She doesn't have headphones on. She doesn't know what we're talking about.
Oh, I'm like, why isn't she saying anything?
We'll give her a round of applause anyway.
So, Kat, you just wrapped up covering the Decatur Book Festival. Tell us, first of all, what is the Decatur Book Festival? What was your favorite thing that you read and your favorite thing that you ate?
Oh, okay. So the Decatur Book Festival is a giant book festival put on by the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. It takes place in downtown Decatur. If you don't know what Decatur is, just listen to the Outkast song that will tell you that Atlanta is the city and Decatur is the neighborhood. It is east of downtown, and there was an awesome culinary village that was sponsored by Springer Mountain Farms. There are a couple other companies that I'm blanking on right now, but they had a giant culinary stage set up. Big Green Egg was there. I don't know if they were sponsoring the stage, though, but I was lucky enough to be sitting next to Big Green Egg. Their tent and Rusty Bowers was making bacon and peaches and chicken wings on the Big Green Egg, so I pretty much ate very well the whole weekend.
Yo, Rusty!
One of my favorite events was our very own Michael Harlan Turkell was there to do a demo from his new book, Acid Trip. So he cooked some chimichurri-coated chicken wings from the Big Green Egg and had a discussion with Kim Severson of the New York Times, and it was highly entertaining. Kim Severson's writing is amazing, but she's also hilarious in person, as I found out. So it was awesome, and I handed out about 200 bookmarks.
Yay!
They said, I need a break, then listen to Heritage Radio Network, because food radio is lit. And I don't know how many people got it, but I appreciated it anyway.
I was like refreshing Instagram today to see how many likes we were getting on our new shows. I do that. But every time it would like refresh and I saw that and I was like, cause it's lit.
It's so good.
It's a book festival. Get it. I thought it was so funny.
That's so good.
it takes a minute to like sink
it,
right?
I just got it.
Yeah. That's a genius.
Worth it.
And like, yeah, it was just brilliant, Kat.
I saved a few, so I'll bring.
We
you
were
back
hoping,
back
yeah. Yes. Liza is a bookmark aficionado dress. What's going on in the next couple of days? We are, we're getting ready for Chef's Collab. I guess that's only 2 days out, but what are you keeping busy with?
Yeah, so I'm going to start out my day on Saturday by going to the Big Green Egg Culinary Center. Once again, Big Green Egg. We can't escape them. Nor would we ever want to. Yeah, I'll be covering a lamb breakdown workshop that is kicking off. It's like a additional field trip to the summit. And then when Katie gets in, there's a welcome reception on Saturday. And then there's two full days of programming on Sunday and Monday. So looking forward to that. There's going to be a lot of awesome people in town. So I'm excited to be sticking around Atlanta for a few more days.
I can't wait to see you.
Yeah, I'm so excited. I can't wait to show you around the city.
We have to make our plans for meeting up, so I'll call you later about that.
Cool.
But I got a rental car, so I'll come to you.
Awesome.
And yeah, we should figure out what we're going to eat. So excited.
I have many ideas.
Oh, good. I thought you might, so I haven't made any plans.
There's that one Asian chef, Chinese chef, who just opened up a place. He's like moved around a bunch of times. It's supposed to be amazing. It's in like a strip mall. I can't remember the name of it. I'll find it for you guys.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's supposed to be like
crazy, we're there.
Crazy good.
Awesome. Love that. Thank you. Kat, really looking forward to seeing you in a couple of days. Do you want to hang with us for a little bit, or do you want to get back to your wine?
She's already
back to the bottom of that glass.
Yeah. I'll see you on the other side, girl. So another big event coming up tomorrow is the Tasty Awards. So a whole crew of us are going to check that out for in no small part because Heritage Radio Network has been nominated. Woo! We're super excited. So this is the part of the Taste Talks Festival this weekend, and the Tasty Awards are going on Friday night. Heritage Radio Network was nominated as the best nonprofit, so we are bursting with pride and super excited, and also just really thrilled to make that list along with a lot of other incredible nominees. So just to be in the pool, we're really, really stoked. Plus, one of our shows got nominated for the best radio show / podcast. So Dana Cowan's show, Speaking Broadly, was nominated. And another awesome top show of ours, Cherry Bomb, the magazine, was nominated for best magazine or zine category. So we're really rooting for everybody and super excited. It's also like a really fun show. They make it really entertaining. So excited to kind of see what's on deck this year. There's going to be music and demonstrations and comedy, I think. So
super excited.
Congratulations.
It'll be good. Thank you.
That's
yeah.
Awesome.
Thanks. We're planning our jumpsuits.
Yeah.
Already.
Maybe we're coordinating outfits.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
keep your eye out.
We're totally down. Festive dress code. Here we come. We also, we're based obviously in New York City. We're here in Roberta's in Brooklyn. New York City had huge news yesterday, which is that from now on, 100% of kids at New York City public schools will be getting free school lunch. So 1.1 million school students beginning this year are going to have access to free school lunch. The new initiative is going to reach an additional 200,000 students and save their families about $300 a year.
That's amazing.
That's awesome news.
So this is, breaking news. Yeah, I think we should drink to that because
it
really makes me proud to be a New York City resident and
to pay taxes to support this.
I know.
It's really happy.
It's really like, it just kind of is one of those things where you're like, wow, I'm really proud of what this you know, city government is doing and the school lunch program. So it remains to be seen kind of how that sourcing is going to look like. But I think also, you know, school food in New York City is very sensitive to sourcing locally and really like being a part of a viable local food system here. So I think that this is just great news all around.
Grass-fed beef.
Yeah. We're
wild-caught fish.
Super happy and proud. And so David is hinting that we are going to take a quick break to have a word from our sponsor. And this is a sponsor that we're really, really proud to be working with, Castor and Pollux. The ad will kind of speak for itself, but I just want to give them an extra shout-out because it's a great alignment. So cheers, guys. We'll be right back
cheers.
In a few minutes.
Cheers.
This episode is brought to you by Castor and Pollux, maker of America's number one organic pet food, Organix. You put a lot of care and thought into what you eat. After all, you're a food radio listener. That thoughtfulness goes hand in paw with how you feed your pets. Purposeful pet food doesn't happen by accident. Castor and Pollux scours the earth to carefully select the best organic and responsibly sourced ingredients. New Pristine from Castor and Pollux is the only complete line of pet food made with ingredients that are responsibly raised, caught, or grown. Feed your dog or cat the new standard, like grass-fed beef, wild-caught fish, and vegetables grown without synthetic fertilizers or chemical pesticides. Pristine from Castor and Pollux. Purposeful pet food. Learn more at heritageradionetwork.org/pets. I'd rather lie on the highway.
And we are back. This is HRN Happy Hour, and we are going to jump right in with our Happy Hour guests today. We have Jason Vincent, Ben Lesbader, and last but not least, Josh Perlman from the team at Giant. We're so happy to have you guys here.
Seen and not heard.
Oh, come on.
Keep it that way.
No. We want to hear you. This is radio. So last time we spoke was at the Charleston Wine and Food Festival back in March. So we're really, really psyched that we're getting a chance to catch up and that you guys are in New York City. So first of all, Jason, we have to point out how well decorated you are as a chef, and also that Giant has been getting so many awards. Your hoodie and sports kickball shirt is really, really beautifully decorated. But also,
these are these are his dress hoodies too.
I picked it up off the floor this morning and smelled it. And my wife's like, giving it the smell test. I'm like, I don't know why it matters. It's the only one I brought. I'm putting it on one way or the other.
Well, you know, pass, fail, it's fine. We're all good here, all right. And it's radio, so our listeners can just imagine. But the other type of decoration that we're talking about is Cochon 555, National Champion, Food and Wine Best New Chef, Michelin Bib Gourmand Award, and Thrillist Chef of the Year last year. And the latest is huge congratulations, guys, on making Bon Appetit's Best New Restaurant list. So,
thank you.
Awesome accomplishment. And I want to talk about what an award like this means for you guys and for the business.
You know, it's funny. Like, I just had an interview with the Tribune yesterday, and they were asking me the same thing. They were like, "We're actually from the business. We want to concentrate on how this affects dollars and cents of your restaurant." It was kind of a head scratcher because, like, we have a 40 seat restaurant. We're very, very, very fortunate to be full every night. Mm-hmm. So we don't know if it's affecting us. There's no metric like that we can, you know, staple down and look at next year for this time this year and say, okay, well, we were this busy, so like these are the dollars and cents and whatever. You know, the only thing we could honestly do, which we're not going to do, is like open Sundays and Mondays, or do like brunch or lunch or something like that. And mm-hmm. that's not what we're gonna do.
Yeah. Does it change anything for you on a personal level thinking about the business?
I think for all of us, it's a little bit, I don't know if stability is the right word, but it's definitely, I sleep a little bit better knowing that we're going to pay our investors back faster. And, mm-hmm. you know, maybe this will stretch out our business past, like, you know, the slow season and in the winter, yeah. you know, that's the thing.
Yeah.
But we won't know that until February when we're either looking at an empty restaurant or not, you know. But, you know, if we can look at last year, we're good.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's like, I'm really not trying to sound cocky. I'm just,
it's
like,
reassuring, if anything else.
Yeah.
And I think that, I mean, I don't really know the scene in Chicago, but in New York, that's a rare feeling. And I'm sure a satisfying and special one.
Well, and I mean, like, honestly, there is one thing where we, from the beginning, wanted to provide health insurance for our staff. And, you know, we're a small enough restaurant where we don't have to. It's mm-hmm. not, there's no legal mandate to, you know, do anything like that. But we were like, you know, these are people that we're going to be working with, and these are going to be our family. And, like, how do we do that? And, you know, the check for that would break us. Like, we wouldn't be able to do it. So we kind of started devising this plan about essentially splitting the cost of it, us, the employee, and the customer, the three revenue streams, right? So with something like this, it kind of gave us a little bit of a boost to actually pull the trigger on that, because, you know, we can take a gamble, you know, mm-hmm. we can take a gamble and possibly potentially alienate a few people by adding a 2% surcharge onto their check. So far, I mean, Josh, correct me if I'm wrong, but literally nobody has pushed back.
Do you have some sort of explain it on the menu?
Okay. We do.
That's such a great precedent to set. I mean, we talk about making restaurants a more sustainable career, and it's so great to hear that you're doing that, and I hope that other restaurants will take the cue.
Me too. And, like, honestly, you know, if anybody, we've had some other restaurant people and non-restaurant people, you know, it's not even just a restaurant thing, it's a business thing. It's like, mm-hmm. it's people taking care of people, working for people, yeah. wanting to, you know, curb attrition, curb turnover, things like that, you know, from a business perspective. If anybody wants to know more about it, you can email any one of us.
I think I had a conversation with a guest a month or so ago, and they didn't quite understand that health insurance isn't just part of their compensation package. Mm-hmm. And these people are obviously coming from more of a corporate sector, but it was just interesting to hear from them, which for us is just, we understand that you don't have health insurance as a restaurant employee, and to be able to offer this.
If I remember correctly, the person you had that conversation with worked in the insurance industry.
For one of the major companies.
Wow.
And they were, so it was a couple, and one of them was concerned that we were going to face a lot of pushback, and we were going to, like, you know, we were going to kill our business. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the other one was like, well, I kind of wonder how this works, and, like, tell me more. Yeah. And it's like,
I said, keep in touch, and I'll be happy to fill you in.
Yeah. Well, that's so amazing that it's like a conversation starter, that, you know, people are reading the fine print and thinking about it. And, you know, I think there are like maybe more conversations happening about tipping, not tipping, having a service charge built in, but that is so specific that I think it helps people really think clearly about the issue. And I hope that you got a lot more conversations from that. And I hope it goes well, but I think that's such a great precedent.
And honestly, I think the thing that we feel most confident about is maybe it's a gamble, but the payoff is so big. Mm-hmm. And if people are rational about it, then they look at it and they figure out that it's literally $2 off of a $100 check. And they're like, you know, yeah, okay. Like, Ben and I went back and forth for months. We were like, should it be 1%? What if it was 2%? 3% sounds like too much. You know, it was just like we were role playing. Mm-hmm. You know, if I was a customer, you know, and that's what we landed on.
And to give the people credit, the feedback we have gotten has been overwhelmingly positive.
So would you think about now raising that percentage based on talking to customers, or do you think you're going to stick with the 2% for a while?
Yeah, as long as we don't have to.
Yeah.
I think 2% is kind of a sweet spot, and I mean, we don't want to unnecessarily charge people if it's covered. So.
Yeah, it just seems like a no-brainer. Like, I as a customer would never think twice about paying a 2%.
No.
Well, that's the thing, too. There is, you know, it's not the same every month because it's based on sales, right? Mm-hmm. So if it's static for the customer, it's static for the employee. That's the most important thing. Like, we charge them $100 a month each, and that's it. It never changes. Mm-hmm. And then the you know, we have a slow month, then we pay more. And if we have a really good month, we pay less, but we are able to, like, save up for the slow month.
Yeah.
So it's like,
so cool.
It just kind of works out. And so far, we've hit, like, the numbers, like, on the dot.
That's great.
That's awesome.
So we also noticed that Chicago was the one city to have two restaurants on the best list from Bon Appetit, right?
They did. No, I'm just kidding.
They did. Not that we have to mention them.
Uh-huh. No, they're great. Absolutely mention them. They're amazing people. It's a great restaurant.
Well, more we just wanted, what do you think that says about the Chicago restaurant scene in general? Is that a big boon to?
Yeah, I think we've always thought of it as really healthy there. Mm-hmm. I've worked in a few cities, and I love working in Chicago.
And even traveling, too. Like, as you travel, you want to try the other restaurants and see how they kind of stack up to what you think they're going to be like and to what you're used to. And personally speaking, and maybe I'm a little bit biased, I think Chicago has some of the best restaurants in the country.
It is what's advertised. You know what I mean? Like, you walk into a place and you're like, okay, this is a taco place. You get tacos. You don't get deconstructed tortillas with, mm-hmm. you know, jalapeno foam and whatever. I mean, you get tacos.
You just get
and
good
it's
tacos.
Just and they yeah. and they're great, you yeah. know? And you could walk into a dive bar and it's not a dive bar that's got bullet holes plastered on it or something like that. It's a bar that's been there forever and it sucks and it's great.
Yeah. Well, in addition to the additional, like, charge that we talked about, what have you guys been up to over the summer? Is anything changing on the menu at Giant? Other projects that you want to talk about?
Jason's landscaping
what
right now.
What you doing?
But never mind.
Oh, not manscaping. Oh. Obviously, he's never touched a razor.
Oh, you want a thing?
Yeah. Yeah.
For those of
but
you.
What have you been up to this summer? Tell us.
Busy. It's a busy little restaurant. Yeah. We opened a patio.
Yeah.
Ooh. I mean, that's so it's 50% more restaurant with no more kitchen. So it's a push. Mm-hmm. It's a lot. It's enough to do this summer.
Yeah. How many seasons is your patio going to be open?
Half of a season.
Okay.
We have a couple of heaters out there, so yeah. we're gonna push it as long as we can.
Into Chicago.
There's a great 6-week period of warmth. Right?
Yeah, and who knows? There could be like a week in February that's just beautiful. So we'll see. Probably not, but
we would have had it open sooner. But here's what happened. I decided that we needed to have it covered because of rain, right?
Mm-hmm.
So
right.
We wanted to take
that's
reservations. So apparently, the structure that was built needed a building permit. So then we had to, like, wrestle with the city and actually take it down. So it's completely my fault. I'm the bonehead that carved off 2 months of patio season. Aww. But I think we're all pretty much ready for it to close for the winter.
There's always next year.
Yeah.
Oh.
Oh. So now is the time I feel like we have to make the giant pun, like, giant got giant with the patio. But can you tell us the story of the origin of the name?
Well, we had a different space that we were looking at and had a name for it. Ben was never crazy about the name, and so that obviously matters.
Would you tell us what the name was?
So I was reading a book called Chicken Soup with Rice by Maurice Sendak to my kid, and the dedication to that book is to Mrs. Ida Pearls. Who is Maurice Sendak's Russian Jewish neighbor? But to me, it sounded like it sounded like nothing. It sounded like you see that name and you're not expecting anything, so it would give us a lot of freedom to kind of do like work outside of a concept, which we really like. Mm. But it just never sat, right? And so then the space fell through and Ben was like, it's like, this absolutely is not that name. And he's 1,000% right. And we just kind of like started digging around and thinking of other things. And like, we were like in the space one day, I was like, man, isn't it giant? Like a stupid pun. And then also at the same time had been reading Me and My Giant by Shel Silverstein to my kid. And I'm like, holy shit, it's like, it's not bad, right? And that's it.
And Shel Silverstein is a resident of Logan Square, so where the restaurant
was.
Is.
Yeah. Really?
Was. Oh, wow. Super dead.
I mean, was once.
I love that.
But lives on.
Yeah, I love that children's literature is the inspiration for both names. That's fantastic.
Yep.
So well, when lit. I'm picturing giant now, I'm just catching up on life, I guess. But I just watched the BFG. I know that came out like years ago, but.
Was it good?
Yeah, I loved it.
Nice.
And so now my imagery of giant, having not been there myself yet, is thinking about like this, the scale of things and the Snozcumbers and all the lovely Roald Dahl-esque things in the BFG, but also it's actually like got a lot of beautiful imagery in it, so that is a good thing.
And like hindsight being what it is, like we can look out on the dining room and seeing all the people. We have a poster of the first three stanzas of Me and My Giant with mm-hmm. the foot and the little girl looking up, and the how disarming it is for people, you know, like it's this restaurant that now, thankfully, is difficult to get into, and you wait and you wait and you wait, and then the first thing you see is that, and it's just like, it's.
You can't be mad.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. That's really good. Smart.
Coupled with a terrific staff of just top notch professionals that really buy into what we want Giant to be. And yeah. I mean, we couldn't be more fortunate to have them.
Yeah, they make it for sure.
What's been on your agenda in New York City this week?
We had this thing. That's why we're here. We had the Bon Appetit thing. What are you talking about?
I mean, are you eating stuff? Are you going around?
What are you guys doing? You're going to Hearts.
Later. Yeah, I'm going to Hearts as soon as I leave here. And then Olmsted for a second dinner.
Nice. As you must.
I got Attaboy tonight.
Awesome.
I definitely plan on eating another one of the watermelon salads here before I leave, because that macadamia nut milk is very interesting, and I'm going to rip it off.
You've been notified, Roberta's.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm doing an old standby Gramercy Tavern.
Awesome. Yeah.
So it's kind of been one of those places I tend to go to every time I'm in town. So.
Yeah. Any great bites since you landed here?
We did a team dinner at Uncle Boone's first night, so we brought a few people from the restaurant and their spouses. Ben's mm-hmm. girlfriend is a pastry chef at Proxy and Sepia in Chicago, so she came to help us out, and we all went to Uncle Boone's, and like, I don't know, man, it's I don't know if there's a better place I've been to. It's just so good. It's just so delicious.
It is delicious.
We were hoping you could give a little kind of comparison between Logan Square and Brooklyn.
I haven't spent a whole lot of time in Brooklyn.
Ben, you look like you have a thought.
I'm thinking about it. I also haven't spent a ton of time here. I love Brooklyn, but for me, coming here infrequently, that still feels gigantic and sprawling and... Mm-hmm.
Is there a neighborhood?
Much more varied, whereas Logan Square is also diverse and varied, but just geographically so much more contained.
Mm-hmm.
But we love it. You know, yeah. Most of us that work at the restaurant live there or nearby, and just kind of, it's home.
Yeah.
Nice.
I think that says a lot to be able to live near where you work.
Yeah.
It's a lifesaver for me.
I'm a reverse commuter myself at the moment, but... facing some upcoming transit shutdowns, definitely rethinking my life plan.
If you could have a restaurant in another city, though, what city would that be? Anyone that comes to mind?
Minneapolis.
Ooh.
Why? Okay, why Minneapolis? Why.
I think they're definitely they're experiencing kind of a renaissance in restaurants, I think. They've always had, like, one or two. but I think there's a lot of people that have left Minneapolis that are now returning. Gavin Creason's a perfect example, and he's running a terrific restaurant there right now. So I think a lot of people are doing the same thing, and it's just access to outdoors, it has culture. I mean, the weather sucks, obviously, but there are those 2 months where it's beautiful and people just really kind of get out and enjoy what they have at their disposal. So, and I'm from there. But it's really cool. I would consider moving back if we didn't have a restaurant in Chicago, but...
But you kind of do. It's kind of a pretty good one. It's kind of a big deal.
Well, we've been very fortunate.
Annie's getting married in 2 weeks.
Congratulations. So.
3 weeks.
Yay. Don't get ahead of yourself, Jason.
That's what the wedding cake is for.
Oh, how nice.
Thank you. We already made you a cake. It's made out of glue.
Oh, great. Looks delicious.
Smells great.
I think I might actually say Charleston. When we were down there for the food and wine, it was just the quality of restaurants. It's like, it really did remind me of Chicago, where it's like, this is what it is. Come in. You're going to get the best of what we promise we're going to deliver on. What's the place called?
167 Raw.
167 Raw.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I would go there every day if I lived in Charleston.
Wow. 365.
167, 365, bro. Decatur.
What about you, Ben?
I am not sure. I love cities. I love all different cities, and every time I go to one, I can imagine myself living there, and then I get back to Chicago, and I remember why that's my home. But I don't know. I love Philadelphia. I'm from Pittsburgh, so Pennsylvania is dear to me.
Here comes David on the mic.
But
who, me?
Yeah, I thought you were going to say something about Philly.
Oh.
I saw you jump up.
Well, I'll say the pho is better in Philly than it is here, for sure.
It's fighting words.
Philadelphia?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's not new. Everybody said that already.
Well, we are sort of starting to get to the end of our show window, but as I gave you a small premonition of earlier,
Cleveland Indians
are exactly. We're having baseball trivia. Just kidding. We're having really, really hard trivia about totally random stuff. Our theme for trivia today is ready, giant stuff.
So get ready.
That was a really long explosion.
Giant.
Yeah, okay, so we're going to jump right into this, and this is a free-for-all trivia game, so just shout out.
You
have like a buzzer of whatever sound you can make with your own. What's that person called who does the sound effects? Why is my brain broken? Foley artist.
David.
Foley artist. Yeah. Thank you. Okay, I win. So we're going to start off with our giant trivia with a total gimme. I hope somebody gets this one.
Sears Tower.
Giant.
What is the tallest building in the world? Not Chicago.
Burj Khalifa.
There you go. Well, done. Where is the Burj Khalifa?
Dubai.
That's right. How tall is it?
Very tall.
Super tall.
Good answer.
267 stories.
Is it really? I only have it in feet. I have 2,716 feet, which sounds like probably it's like 10-ish, right? I think you're right. I think you're all right. Josh, Jason, Ben, you are all correct. Okay.
Tiebreaker.
Next one. A horse named Radar has been awarded the title largest living horse. How big would you say that Radar is?
I don't really pay attention to those things.
550
pounds.
They're
not really on my radar.
Less.
400 pounds.
Wait, no, way more.
Oh,
way
no more.
Hannah,
I just can't read numbers.
267 stories.
267 stories.
3 tons.
I'm going to say it's a
Clydesdale. Would you say that he's taller or shorter than Ben?
Taller.
Ben, how tall are you?
6'2".
Okay. Radar is 6'7", so you are correct. This guy drinks 20 gallons of water a day and eats 18 pounds of grain, and he weighs in at 2,400 pounds.
Wow.
Go Radar.
Wow.
Okay, so we're
big.
Sitting.
Radar love.
We're sitting in Roberta's Pizza, and you guys just had some pizza to eat. I want to know, roughly, you don't have to give me the exact number, how big was the Guinness Book of World Records largest pizza ever made? How long?
300 feet.
You're way low.
1,000 feet.
You're still super way low.
How tall is the Burj Khalifa?
Is the pizza larger or smaller than the Burj Khalifa?
I think this is like the total area, smaller. Though. It's not just the length.
Oh, it's square feet.
It's a super large number.
I'm like, this is crazy.
It's a square pizza? Who cares?
What's the volume of that?
It's like the total area.
How many calories?
I'll tell you how big the pizza was, but does anybody know what the pizza was named?
I was going to say, my favorite is that the pizza has a name.
John.
The pizza was called Octavia. And also, there was a special dietary restriction that applied to this pizza. Does anybody want to guess which dietary?
Gluten-free.
It was gluten-free. This pizza, named Octavia, was...
Because people.
They made a 13,580 square foot pizza. 13,580 square feet, named Octavia, and it was gluten-free.
1% of the population wanted to eat.
Yeah, so it was meant to spread a message to the world about the importance of health-conscious food choices. But
grass-fed beef.
That's a lot of...
It's a lot of pizza.
It's a lot of pizza.
And the guy's making it. Maybe next time I make them, I don't know, hot dog.
Okay, guys, this is a Chicago giant things question. Apparently, two of the most giant spiders in the world are native to Chicago.
Spiders?
Ugh. Spiders. What are their names? Octavia.
Wolf spider?
I don't think those are poisonous. Mm-hmm.
I didn't say poisonous.
No, giant.
Poisonous.
Just giant.
They're not
on here either. I've never heard of these.
Oh, it's the giants in the name. The giant.
No. I'm just saying they are giant. But the wolf spider is not one of them.
That's a the brown recluse.
Mm-mm.
Those are tiny.
Oh.
Any others?
It's
Ziggy.
It's not that small.
Bob.
I don't even want to know the answer because I don't want spiders.
Do you want to know how big they are?
I live in Chicago. There's no.
I don't.
Snakes.
Okay, hold up your hand. That's how big they are. The orb weaver and the dark fishing spider are both roughly the size of an average man's hand. So Benny
in
might have
Chicago,
a
they
larger
live?
Than average hand. Yeah.
Really?
According to our
Sweet
crack
dreams.
Team of trivia researchers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You ever, keep your eyes out, guys.
You ever seen a coconut crab?
No.
Oh, man.
They don't sound like they're native to Chicago, though.
No, they're not. You want to see something scary? Google
I do.
That.
Really?
Okay. Oh, my God.
Sweet dreams.
Sweet.
All right.
What was the URL again for that?
Last one. It's fall. It's time for pumpkin spice everything. Lucky us. Which European country brags the world's largest pumpkin?
Austria?
Yeah, I was going to say Austria.
You're close.
Germany.
Yes. It's Germany. In 2016, Matja Willemine, her award-winning pumpkin weighed in at 2,624.6 pounds.
Wow.
So that's been our trivia game for today. It was pretty hard. You got the easy question, and I hope that you don't encounter any of these giant spiders at Giant. Or anywhere in Chicago. And I'm really, really glad that you guys were able to join us today. Welcome back, fall. Oh, is this a picture?
Okay, so I just Googled coconut crabs, and they are like the size of a kindergartner.
Oh, my God.
I suggest all of our listeners Google it.
It's kind of cute.
No.
Nothing. I mean, I would eat it.
My dog.
I would eat it. I don't want to be near it when it's
coconut crab salad with... Had a shoe waffle fries.
Sounds delicious.
Coming up for
It'd
spring 2018.
Like
I can't tell where
menu.
Its head is.
See you
but
in your dreams.
Yeah, it's kind of cute. Okay, everybody. Well, that's our show. Thank you so much to Ben, Jason, and Josh from Giant for joining us today. I hope that we'll see you back soon. Are you going to be in Charleston again?
I don't think so.
Okay, well, we'll be thinking of you. And I really hope to see you in Chicago very soon. And always let us know when you're in New York City. We'd love to have you back to our studios. And I want to say a big thank you to our team. Our producer today is Liz Mystic. We have Hannah Forden and Liza Hamm in the studio. My co-host Kat called in from beautiful Atlanta, where she is eating all the things without me until Saturday.
Cat call.
I really enjoyed our cat call segment today. And our fearless engineer is Dave Tatasciore. Thanks, everybody, for listening.
As you know, Heritage Radio Network is a member-supported 501c3 nonprofit, so please check us out online, heritageradionetwork.org. And if you'd like to support the work that we do, please click on the beating heart in the top right of our webpage to donate. Check out all of our new shows this week, and happy fall, everybody.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network, food radio supported by you. For our freshest content and to hear about exclusive events, subscribe to our newsletter. Enter your email at the bottom of our website, heritageradionetwork.org. Connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at heritage_radio. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization driving conversations to make the world a better, fairer, more delicious place. And we couldn't do it without support from listeners like you. Want to be a part of the food world's most innovative community? Rate the shows you like, tell your friends, and please join our community by becoming a member. Just click on the beating heart at the top right of our homepage. Thanks for listening.